Today's guest is Karim Shaib. He's the founder of Web3Intelligence.com and the architect behind the super app Dopamine. Now, aside from being a serial entrepreneur, he's been a pivotal figure in shaping ETF and digital asset infrastructure components for major banks such as UBS, BBVA, Signum, and the world leader core banking system, Avaloq. His expertise extends to pioneering the open banking and artificial intelligence integration with IBM. Under Karim's leadership, Web3Intelligence.com has truly begun to break ground from offering an intuitive app that not only caters to the everyday consumers, but also engages children through what's actually a gamified learning of seed phrases. The platform also powers Dope TV, as well as their Dope token, which serves as a licensing model, setting a global standard for AML and driving Web3 innovation across various businesses. Karim has had some notable contributions to the space, from leading teams of world-renowned cryptographers such as Gennaro, Goldfeather, Pilier, Gubin, and, you know, apologize if I'm saying any of these names wrong, and DeFi guru Andre Cronier, further cementing his status as a visionary in the field. The fact of the matter is, this is one of the most in-depth conversations you're going to hear on the current state of blockchain technologies, Web3 technologies, without too much technical jargon being put in between. So if you've been looking for an opportunity to access and get involved in this space, this is the conversation you've been waiting for. Because as you'll soon learn, there is no better time to build than right now, now that the infrastructure is finally in place. Without further ado, Karim Shaib. Okay. Welcome to the show, Karim. I'm so glad we got a chance to talk just before we hit record. It's really nice to get to know somebody who has that kind of positive energy that you have. And I think it shows in your work, because you're truly passionate about what you're doing. And I don't think people understand the importance of the infrastructure that you're building. So to get into it, can you walk us through a little bit of your journey from being a serial entrepreneur to becoming the founder of Web3Intelligence.com and the visionary app Dopamine, and what inspired you sort of to step into this venture, which is at the intersection of AI, compliance infrastructure, and essentially a super app capability within a crypto space?
Thank you so much, Philip, for your kind words, and I'm very excited. Thank you so much for having me. Very happy to be here. And like the first question, you start strong. Very great and an interesting question. So let me give you a bit of background. So I'm French, an engineer. I started coding very early. I was passionate about computer science. I was 6 years old. My favorite movie as a kid was War Game.
Yes.
I don't know if you know that one. It's quite a old one. But I was always like in the tech industry, and I would say sometimes too much in advance for the time, building first mobile apps, even before mobiles were released, you know, with WAP. And I created like a bunch of things that every time I started it, it was a bit struggling because I was too early, but it started to really like work for real after 5 years, 10 years. And at the time when I was younger, I would say like very impassioned, you know, I built something, I was expecting that to run and work immediately and get like massive approval. And I was in this industry, like finance, computer science, like I would say more than 25 years, always helping like the biggest banks, UBS, Credit Suisse, you know, like with their infrastructure, doing like very, very special things that very few people were able to do. And I felt like very honored to have had this chance, you know, and work with like the best guy in the industry. And to make the long story short, I started to manage like cryptographic infrastructure for Société Générale, and go really deep into cryptography, and combine that with my background that I had at school on AI. It came naturally as a flow that we are going through a migration of infrastructure, you know, from all legacy infrastructure to this new digital infrastructure, which combine AI, combine distributed ledger, to call it blockchain, and portability. And I will detail a bit through the story, like how that goes. But finally, I had the chance to be involved in the making of building this infrastructure for the largest bank. I was very honored to work with like the best guy in the space and build like this whole infrastructure. And it's funny because people do not realize yet that it's already here. It's gonna be everywhere. But you're gonna have to understand why this is really cool and how empowering it is for you, because like everybody's going to have the power to access all this infrastructure, all this information that are available to everybody because they are open. So very excited, like if we deep dive into
And what I love about the current stage of things is everyone's going to know that when people look back at history and they watch videos like this, it's going to be very similar to the videos that we'll see of people mocking, I don't know, Jeff Bezos or Bill Gates when they ask them, "What's the internet?" Early on, and you just saw them, they didn't even bother trying to defend it because they knew it was an inevitability, right? This is
exactly.
where things are going because, like you said, it's already here. And I think something interesting about your journey, and we sort of just graced upon it, is being the first mover in things is never easy. And if what you're telling me is it's always been that way for you, the support and the confidence, because the support isn't there, where do you find the confidence? I'm just curious, like how do you go through and allow yourself to keep going when others would quit? Given that they're so early to something, people don't believe in it. Is it because your vision is so clear?
Yes, actually, I cannot think otherwise. Like it's a when you have like I would say like this call, like you have this vision, like you there is no other choice. You have to do it, and it's so clear. You can see clearly what is the path, what is going to happen, and you have like this. There is no doubt about it. So it's just like help you to keep your head focused on what you have to do on the next step, and move on and move on. And I believe that's is that not like this for everybody? I
No, it's not. Some people will change their outfit if someone tells them, "Wow, you wore that to the party?" They go, "Oh, some people are that easy to fold," and not through a fault of their own. It's just not everyone has such a clear dedication to a vision. Some people will change jobs because someone was mean to them. It sounds tongue in cheek, it sounds a little exaggerated, but you'd be surprised at the number of things that might hurt people. And I guess when you have a clear vision, it doesn't matter. You hold on tight because you know how important it is. And
Yeah.
one of my mentors always said, clarity equals confidence equals execution. We don't
Yeah.
execute because we don't have confidence, and we don't have confidence because we don't have clarity. But if you have clarity, which is what a vision is, nothing can stop you.
The
So
rest
I
is
just
history.
wanted to I wanted to make a pit stop there to sort of color how important it is that you're doing what you're doing because you see it before anybody else sees it, right? So let's dive into it and let's go into what dopamine is in particular. As it's described, it's an everything app for crypto. Right
Yeah.
now, it's blending AI, it's got compliance infrastructure, it offers functionalities across the multitudes, right? Centralized, decentralized exchanges, banks. How did you conceptualize dopamine and what were some of the key challenges you faced in the development and deployment?
Wow, such an amazing question. So, okay, let me take a step back. So, for everybody that are not aware about what is crypto, what is AI, and what happened, last 50 years, people go to university and you have like the mathematician are a bit of autistic people, they don't speak too much. The informatician, the same, but network enabled communication, and you have like a lot of mathematicians that started to speak with computer scientists. And what happened is like we did in the last 20 years a lot of progress in applied math in computer science, which give us the blockchain and the AI. It's just applying some math formula to computer science. One of them is like we are able to sign transaction in a trustless way that gives a blockchain. And then we are able to use mathematical model in order to see patterns, and that create AI. So it's just because informaticians and mathematicians were able to speak together. And it's just like an evolution of our technology set of tools. But now people realize, like nowadays, AI is already here. You can use ChatGPT, and most of people understand like how AI is being powerful. Banks, they understand that running an infrastructure for a bank costs, I would say, like a regular bank in the US, they have a 20 million per year cost, recurring cost on the infrastructure, because you need to pay your Oracle database and a lot of reporting, settlement system, and everything. And a blockchain is working 24/7, and you just pay on the usage. So all the banks, all the institutions, they want to use blockchain. It's much better. Also, when you have AI, you want autonomous systems that are able to do transaction. If you want to say your AI, hey, book me an appointment with a hairdresser, you want the AI to be able to settle that, even if it's Sunday at 12, midnight. You want that to happen. You don't want to wait for 2 days of settlement for a bank. So everything is, I do believe that God makes the things really easy for everybody, and everything's is migrating and evolving at the same time. So AI and also like a decentralized system, they came at the same time to fruition, and they are mature enough, people can see it. So it's just something very easy and logical. I was seeing that in 2017 when the leader core banking system, which is called Avaloq, Avaloq is the company that creates a system for most of the bank in the world. And they gave me the chance to define the roadmap, and I said, "Yeah, let's do AI and let's do decentralized ledger blockchains." I was very lucky to work with the founder Francisco Fernandez, a billionaire that sold Avaloq to a part of Avaloq to NEC, and he gave me like white card, and I put the infrastructure for IBM Watson inside the banks. Like banks, they want to know, oh, is this customer going to get married? Does he want to buy a house? Is he going to leave the bank? And with AI, you can see this data with his bank account moves. You can understand that, and you can have a key account manager to contact them and tell them, hey, you're going to need perhaps a loan or something, and you can use this information in a productive manner. Or actually see if a customer is not very happy with the bank and proactively go to the customer and say, hey, what is happening? How can we be of help? That's the AI part. And then the blockchain ledger, like I had the chance to be part of the M&A and acquire like solutions for private key management, create the infrastructure for banks to support this digital asset. It's really cool when you can digitalize all the shares of company. They can be settled, days, nights. You don't have to wait for the market to open. There is no border. Everything is more liquid. So it has a lot of advantage, And so AI and blockchain. And then because I have this budget, this white card, in order to build this whole infrastructure, I was looking at all the providers in the market that were giving the tool. I just wanted to buy tools to build my infrastructure, my Lego infrastructure. The problem is like there were nobody really doing it at this time. They were like a big blank on the market, and even if you have millions to spend, but you don't have provider to spend with, you think to yourself, somebody has to do it, So we spoke, and I said, okay, I'm gonna with Francisco, we spoke, and I said, like, okay, I'm going to create this infrastructure, which is going to provide this base layer and actually get to index all this data from the blockchain and put that at available for everybody, for builders, for companies, for everybody. And we started like this as the Google of the blockchain. So we go in real time, fetch all this information, all this data, and make it available. And we started like this. And since the beginning, we realized, what do you have in the blockchain? Because it's transparent, it's public, it's available. You have everything. You can see which entity is working with which entity. How often do they do buying? What is the amount of proceeds? You have all this information and it's public. And we do believe that all this power, all this intelligence should be available to everybody on Earth. If you are like a little kid in Bangladesh, you can start using the data and build solutions and provide value to people. Everybody should be able to read it. It cover anti-corruption government, where you can see like what is happening with the funds because it's fully transparent, to optimization of logistics. It covers everything. It's just a huge encyclopedia that people were missing tools in order to read it. So we started like this, and we started pitching that to banks, and they say, "Great, we want that, but we have another burning issue right now. We have compliance issue." I say, "Okay, what is the problem?" They say, "Look, we are using this anti-money laundry, because when you work with blockchain, it's fully transparent, but you still need to show that you verify that the funds that are being exchanged are compliant, same as in banking system. It's standard." And they are, I will say, at the time, like now there is like around 20 providers worldwide. And if you're just a bank and you just use one provider, it's not cool enough, because you have an operational risk. If the provider goes down, you don't have any source and you cannot work. So you want multi-providers. And then every provider, they have a different scale. So you need a standard, a world standard, to standardize all the results, aggregate that, reduce the operational risk, show the regulator that you're doing a thorough due diligence. And that was a problem that this first client, which was like a wealth manager in Zurich, crypto broker, they had a anti-money laundry contract with a company called Neutrino. Coinbase came and bought Neutrino and sent a letter saying, "Guys, we are in October. At the end of December, your license is being revoked." So crypto broker was like in panic, because they didn't have any EML providers. They had to search a new solution. They had to unplug everything, replug and rebuild everything. And I said, "Okay, what about we create this solution that go fetch all the anti-money laundry results, aggregate, standardize, plug and play. This problem never happen again. You have no operational risk, and you can trust the regulator that you have like the best compliance system." They say, "Like, let's do it." So we created the solution as a proof of concept, and then we were requested by Sygnum Bank and Rabobank to also deploy the solution, and that started like this. But to come back to dopamine, what happened is, like, while we created this whole infrastructure for the builders, we wanted to first give, like, democratizing, like, the bigger companies to have access to this technology, to enable grandmother to buy Bitcoin from them e-banking. But the goal was always to build technology which is available for everybody, not just the incumbents. That's why every piece of technology that we have created, we have put it available on a mobile app. And everybody, wherever they are, if they're in Kenya, Ethiopia, or like Mexico, wherever they are in the world, they can download the app on Android and iOS, and they have exactly the same tools that we give to big banks, big exchange, and hedge fund. And yeah, that's the idea behind it.
This is absolutely incredible, especially because, I remember hearing about crypto, I think first in 2014, maybe a little earlier than that. To this day, I still think, I mean, like everyone else, I should have bought more, but I had friends that were like releasing the first event ticketing platform on Ethereum, and I watched them build it and things of that nature. So every step of the way, I constantly heard about the pitfalls and the issues with infrastructure and how unstable things were. To hear your journey of going in, and first of all, the incredible things you were doing just in banking in general, to then bring that knowledge and that set of resources to start solving these problems is absolutely fundamental, incredible. And thank you so much for doing this, because somebody had to do it. Now, what you said was very curious to me that I was really curious about. And you said, banks are interested in this, which is funny because the narrative in mainstream media is that the incumbents don't want anyone using this. But now I'm beginning to see there's certain things that need to be taken care of before everyone is on board with it. And in particular, people with a lot of risk, like banks. Right, that have, or companies with a lot of risk that have those kinds of things they need to look out for. So it's really insightful to hear how your experience reveals things that maybe most people don't know. Maybe people who are entrenched in Web3 are familiar with this and they understand what's happening, But from what I see from most Web3, they're more concerned about a digital image for a meme and what it looks like and NFT and just exchanging that and no real utility there. But what you're building is quite literally the HTTPS, adding the security certificates to our experience as we begin to do this. And it's very wild, wild west, very gold rush, the migration, manifest destiny and things like that. But again, here. So
Let
let's,
me give you an anecdote about that if you
yes, please, please.
want. For example, you see, 2017, 2019, I created the first proof of concept. We have like Avaloq big community session where all the banks are invited, innovation hub. And I start with this little hub about the AI and the blockchain. After half an hour, you had all the CEO of all the big banks like Barclays, BBVA,
Wow.
Gazprom, all of them behind the booth, and they were like literally fighting to be the first on the blockchain. Like really, like no, don't let this bank first. We want to be the first, and you cannot imagine. Like it was, like I was really surprised. And at the same time, we were signing contracts to build this infrastructure, several millions. And at the same time, the outside communication from the banks was blockchain is not good and everything. And the reason is simple. As a bank, if you say blockchain is great, you need to have a product ready right now, approved by the regulator. But if you don't have it and you say it's great, client is saying, you say it's great, but you don't have it. I'm going to look for a bank that has it. And then if you are a big bank and you have a lot of inertia, to create a product, get the approval from the regulator, you don't want to risk your customers to go away. So you'd rather say outside, not good. At the same time, you build it, you prepare it, you do everything in order to get ready. And when you get ready, you say, like, it's not too bad, actually. It's quite nice. That's what happened.
I love that. It's technology 101, right? If you're behind on your competitors and you know you're not as agile, you're gonna go, ah, yeah, it's cool. It's not, I don't know, it's still got a lot of work. And then the minute you can move on it, actually, we were ahead of the game before you even knew it. Yeah, it's saving
Exactly.
face. I'm glad that you are able to share that though, because many people would be none the wiser and have no idea, in particular the ones who are more risk averse than the pioneers who are in Web3 already. There's a lot of people who, even understanding the concept of a wallet, it's just too much. Like, it's not native enough to our everyday fabric of life. And I don't know how much easier you can make it.
Let me do that right now. Like,
Okay.
look, do you remember like there were one phone number that you learn at some time by heart? No? Do you
Yeah.
remember it?
Yes, I do.
So everybody like here, like they know at least one phone number by heart. And it managing everything crypto and digital asset is as simple as learning 12 words, 12 English words. And if you know these 12 words, or if you write them somewhere, you are able to control everything related to blockchain, to AI. And by that, I mean like wealth, I mean shares of company, I mean Bitcoin, I mean everything. 12 words. It's simple enough that we created also a separated app for grandmother and kids. And we give these apps to a kid, a 5-year-old kid. And after 3 minutes, he's able, because we have created this game, to remember these 12 words. That means, like, as a dad, you know that whatever happened, if your kid knows these 12 words, wherever he's in the world, it will be fine. It will be fine. Like you're able to transfer him whatever you want, properties, real estate, shares, everything. Nobody can do anything about it. That's really like digital property by definition. And it took 3 minutes to a kid. So with this app, we want to really like help school everywhere, like to get that in their educational program because it's super easy. And if you're like listening to us and you want to steal like the kid app, you can do. It's just 12 words and it takes 3 minutes.
No, I love that. And I was going to get to that later in our conversation, but the idea of the work you've been doing with children education and things of that nature, I really want to get to that. Before we get there, though, I was wondering if you could elaborate on the significance of dopamine's integration with Solana. Now, I'll be honest, I don't know much about Solana. I've heard a lot about it. And maybe its expansion into this idea of a multi-chain ecosystem, how the architecture itself essentially enhances user experience, interoperability across all those blockchains. Networks.
Oh man, thanks for the question. So, let's say like this. You have blockchains. There are a lot of blockchains, and you see, we have created this token, which is called like the dopamine token, that unlock every functionality in our apps, but also serve as a license model for the companies that are building on our infrastructure. So it's the same token that you use for retail or for businesses. Now, on all these chains, you can issue your token on each of these chains. You can choose yourself, which one you want to do. And we took like the approach to take Solana for several reasons. The first one was at the end of the bear market, we looked at the ecosystem that were like the most active in terms of like hype and marketing, because you want to actually target the blockchain that have like the most usage. And that was just a strategical decision based on this factor, which is Solana, are showing like very good competencies in terms of marketing, building hype, and they also have very low fee and these kind of things. Another thing that Solana showed is like their capacity to create a mobile. I don't know if you saw, but they released like a mobile called Saga. So they have been in the OEM industry, and we said, okay, look at their phone and say like, actually, it's not that good. And actually, we believe that our app is going to be like a very good extension for the ecosystem. And we said, okay, there are lots of people that are liking Solana very much, and actually like are looking at having like an OS for a phone which is like Web3 native. So that makes sense for us as a strategy to go there. But we are fully technology agnostic. That means like we already have integrated all of the blockchain networks, and we are ready to deploy on the next blockchains, but we want to do that organically. We reach like 3.7 million users right now, and we're going to extend our ecosystem in line with the user growth on the different ecosystem. And we're going to watch also which blockchain will be next. It could be Base, which is produced by Coinbase, a very low fee, also an interesting layer. It could be a Binance Smart Chain. It could be. We stay open there. We're going to follow actually like what the user and the community wants to have, because in the background, the infrastructure is already ready. So it's just for us like a tick box, and then we open up. Does
Now,
that make sense?
yes, no, absolutely. And it's funny, I was going to ask you, are you going to go and develop your own OS? Because at this point, it sounds like having some device that is exclusively that may be the way to go. But you've gone the other route and you've decided to bridge Web 2 and Web 3, which is even more powerful because now it's going to remove even more resistance for people. Because if there's one thing we know to be true, behavior change in a marketplace is the easiest way to add more problems to your—I mean, it's the innovator's dilemma, you know. So with that said, though, I want to shift into the DOPE token, right? And what that looks like, and why it serves as a licensing model, what kind of access it grants people. How does this contribute to the broader adoption of dopamine and incentivize participation within the ecosystem?
Again, Philippe, like the question are really deep. So as you say, like we do the things a bit differently. We come from the spectrum of like being builder. We are not in the speculation and so on. And all these tokens that are not security, they are utility token. And by the world of utility, that means that you can use it. So what we did is like we build as a product to get sure that there is a usage that people want. And then we release the token. So we've been building first the whole infrastructure. We've been building like the full app. And for us, it is very important that the token is not a financial instrument. It's something that you buy in order to use it to get value, which is exponentially higher than what you paid for, our goal is really like to bring value to the life of people, like to improve like their condition wherever they are. And from one side, as a retail person, if you're not like an entrepreneur, you use a token directly inside the app to unlock crazy features, like for example, like the AI data science trading, which is something that is, I'm really proud that the team built that. It's really amazing. Like we built something which is like very, very innovative, and that is really easy to use and like has shown results even during the bear market, where we are able to do 25% in average in return of investment every week. So it's really, really impressive. But in the same time, if you are an entrepreneur, if you are a company that wants to build on a battle-tested infrastructure, you stake the token. I mean, you buy the token, you keep it, and as long as you have kept the token, you have access to everything, to the infrastructure, to the source code, and you can build on it. And why did we do that for the licensing model? It came after we sold our compliance system to the banks. I remember like Sygnum Banks, they were asking us, "Hey guys, can we do this little customization? Can we improve that? Can we tweak that?" And it's great because you have engaged customers that wants to modify and improve and do the things the way they want. But at the same time, it brings like an operational dilemma of assigning resources and supporting. And then we were like really thinking through like how can we provide what the customer wants, but at the same time have something that scale. And then we spoke like with all the lawyers that are like involved into compliance and creating a token. And we came with this model, which is again like very new in the field, which is a licensing model which is encapsulated into the utility. Which means like now, let's say you're Bank Philip, you actually buy the token, you keep it, you have access to everything, you can do improvements because you have the licensing. And inside the licensing, improvements that you do belongs also to the ecosystem. That means like when another bank comes, she knows, oh, there is like what the ecosystem has been built, plus all the banks, they have improved, it's self-improving. And basically like it scale more than linearly for with all the customers that do the improvement on the infrastructure. And if one day you don't want to use this license anymore, then you can sell your token, you know. It means like you have been using the infrastructure and the intelligence for free, you know. But of course, the model is based on the fact that because all this contributor improves the intelligence, which is residing the code and the infrastructure, it accrued in value, not because of the price speculation, but by concretely the intelligence and the soul that has been put into the product by all these participants. And because this infrastructure and involve defining the world standard in anti-money laundering and compliance, that means like every participant, every token holder is actually impacting what is the direction of how compliance should be, you know. If we extend compliance, right now compliance is just very simple. You see, oh, transaction has been done, for example, to an entity that is like selling weapons or something, or doing some crimes, you know, and you flag them. But it can go far beyond that, you know, like if you have like special belief and you don't want to do business with a company which is like doing bad treatments to animals, you can see that on chain. You can build your own solution. You can define compliance. And you know, regulators are lagging. You know, it's not because they don't want. It's just like they are missing the resources, the education, which means like when you have a system like this, which is open that everybody can contribute, it's the people that become the shapers of the landscape. So the token is for us like a medium to really have people to really shape how they want the Web3 and digital space to be. And it's more than Web3, it's also like the AI infrastructure and everything. So it's a global licensing model for new technology where everybody can contribute and should accrue value through the intelligence which is put inside. That's why like we have this name of Web3 intelligence. .com. And also the dopamine, the token is like the necessary ingredient, you know, that the brain produce in order for you to stay focused and which is necessary like for you to learn and be more efficient in life.
It's, you know, one of the things that, and I know I'm late to the game when I say this, but one of the things that occurred to me while I'm talking to you is I often heard people talk about, and I may not be the only one, especially people who know less about the space. People talk about utility token, and most people saw it as like, I think it was called Babe at some point or whatever, they would go and they would use as a utility access to a party, like a on the boat or something, right? That's as far as utility in people's minds who are outside of the space went. And you said there's a difference between a security token, or at least a holder of value token, and then a utility token. And what I'm realizing as I listen to you speak, what's happening here is when we talk about utility, quite literally, like Wi-Fi or electricity or gas, or like it's a utility token, access to the infrastructure that powers things and experiences in someone's life. Now, I may be late to this realization because it just happened here while I'm talking to
No,
you.
yeah, like actually, like that's a perfect moment. You know, that's this realization is actually like is like bringing like the we are like in the moment, and that's now. That's mean like that's exactly now. You like there are a lot of people that didn't come to this realization, and the ones that are realizing like right now are in the present, and that's the moment to act. As you said, it's electricity, it's IoT, is everything which is surrounding us.
And it's incredible to see this because now I'm beginning to understand exactly what stage we're at in the development. You know, it's hard to think of things being developed over time if you're not a builder, if you've never built a company, built a new product. You know, you're just someone who is a consumer and you go about doing your day. But it looks like the future is going to be filled with builders, whether we want it to be or not, as we shift towards this future. And this is part of why the DOPE token exists.
100%. And like just to quote Sam Altman when he said like now it's a time of having $1 billion company created by one man show. It's true. Like the AI is scaling a lot of your resources, and now that you have the resources and through AI, and you have like the exchange of value powered by Web3, everything is available at your fingertips to really bring value to the society, and really focusing on what is bringing value to mankind, you know? And this is where, like, actually, I do believe that the space is shifting, like, to really focus on utilities that bring value, you know? Having access to a boat, to a party, it's not bad. It's already something, you know? But there are so much good things that can be done, you know, like, so much good things.
Now, one of dopamine's unique features, according to my notes, is that there is a gamified learning process, which we sort of talked about with the seed phrases, which engages users of the world in cryptocurrency. How did you approach that design and implementation? Was it specifically for the education of children in particular, or just in general fostering financial literacy in younger generations and in people who are new to the space?
Amazing. Like, look, you bring me back to one of your questions when you told me about like what were the challenges. One of the challenges that we had and we always have is always improving like user interface to make it simpler, you know, mass adoption. You want there is a saying like, you know, like for the like I'm not sure about my English, sorry for that, but like, you know, like instead of giving a fish to somebody, you can teach him how to fish, you know.
Yes.
So like bringing knowledge is already bringing value, you know, and when you work in a space that have a lot of technology behind it, you want to make it as simple as possible, abstract everything. So design wise, it's always like really like a struggle to understand how can we simplify always more, you know, and make it easy. So in Dopamine, you have everything. It covers everything, play to earn, move to earn, trading, a lot of things that people like perhaps don't realize, but everything, you have everything. In one app, you have everything. And yeah, it's a super challenge to have everything packed into one interface that is still easy to use. And about learning with gamified learning, it starts with the app for the kids, but also with the trading, we have like change of paradigm on how easy it is for trading. Like we have created a speedometer, and you can see one line, and if the lines move, you know, oh, that's a good time to enter the trade or no. Like we have simplified all that. We also gamified like the education. We have integrated podcast, videos in order for you to learn. You know, like we really want people to learn at their pace, every bit and pieces, in order to get sure that the migration is not just technological, but also like in terms of mindset and intellectual understanding of what the technology provide. And it goes as far as also positive thinking and mindset. You know, a lot of wealthy people or knows and And for them, it's obvious that, you know, like the way you think, the mindset you have, attract abundance or not, you know. But there are a lot of people that are around the world that don't know this type of thinking. And we have even created like some crypto meditation for people like to start thinking while they are trading in a different way, you know, like and help them like change their mindset and the alpha wave, beta wave that, and actually it shows the results, you know, like so. You have everything, and we have gamified every step of the process that it makes fun. That's why, like, again, I go back to dopamine,
Right.
because dopamine make fun. It's a lot of pleasure. It's also gamifying, like, and tokenizing the attention of people. You know, like there is this intent of with blockchain, you can tokenize everything, and you can even tokenize concept like attention, you know. If I look at Twitter, people are spending like 5.5 hours in average per month on Twitter.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And actually, our users are already like spending 2.5 hours in average per month. And we are a small team, but that
Yeah.
means we have the feeling that we are into something. You know, people get value out of it, and we really like always tell them like, guys, it's not about speculation, like. We want to be more educated, to know more, to that's the tool that the best guy in the world have. You have it for you. So now take your life, you know, and your responsibility and build your wealth.
So let's shift gears a little and dive into your expertise in terms of pioneering the integration of open banking and artificial intelligence, particularly in the collaboration with IBM. Could you share some insights into the synergies of open banking, AI, the emerging Web3 landscape, as exemplified by projects like Dopamine?
So, thanks God, I've been very lucky to have the chance to work on such topic. So, for example, like, do you know what is open banking, or like, well, for everybody perhaps around
I won't
us?
pretend to even know half of what it really means.
Let me like for everybody, like open banking just mean like banks. Till now, have always been siloed. That means like one bank has its data and protect his data. Another bank has this data and protect his data. When you transfer money from one bank to another, it takes a lot of time for a simple transfer. It takes even more time when you transfer shares or when you, and it's because the system are fully siloed. And there is a law in Europe that came, and the same in the US, that forced to break this monopoly and the silo of data that said, hey, banks, now you need to give access to startups and to everybody that wants to actually build on this information, you need to give them API. You need to give them access to it. It's a law. So, and banks were not very happy with that at first because a lot of services that they were willing to build were built by fintech and startups. And startups are very happy that they have now this right to actually build solutions. That's why the banking system in the last 5 years has been like doing much more incremental step than in the last 20 years, because open banking is a law that give access to this API. And I was lucky enough to do like the first implementation of the open banking with the Royal Banks of Scotland, Coutts, you know, because in UK they had a timeline that was like even more tight than the rest of Europe. And yeah, I was lucky enough to be actually like putting these bits and pieces together and doing the first implementation live. And for us, it's I would say like it's because we know how to connect to banks. We said, okay, let's first do all the Web3 parts, right? You know, so we've been building that. And now that we have all the Web3 parts plus all the AI on top of it, now the next step is like, okay, we bring the open banking to it, and then like we have like a fully migrated system, web to web3. Like actually, you don't really care after when the migration is done, you don't even remember about what is web 1 or web 2. Like it's just,
Wow.
you know what I mean?
And that's definitely the goal. And there's some interesting things happening there I'll have to talk to you about after our conversation as well. I think that you'd be interested in.
Sure.
I was wondering if you could talk about shaping ETF. and the digital asset infrastructure, sort of what we're on right now, with UBS, BBVA, Signum. What are some key trends you foresee in the evolution of banking and finance with the context of like blockchain and decentralized finance?
Again, I was lucky enough to be working on this ETF infrastructure, for example, at UBS. When you build an ETF, it's quite complex. You need to do non-business approval. There is a lot of systems that are needed to be involved in order to build an ETF and to manage an ETF. And it's quite a complex infrastructure. And I was lucky enough to be there at UBS building that and maintaining it. And now, with this new technology, blockchain technology and Web3, it's far simpler. And long story short, right now, when you take Dopamine, you have the capacity to actually invest into, not invest because normally we should not use this word as long as regulations say it's not financial advice or financial instruments, but you can actually put your money into a basket of coins just with one click of a button. And on top of it, because we have this data science prediction module, we can give you data when we can advance, tell you that are the assets that are the more likely to have the best return of investment. And you can click, you say, I want to put $100 into each of these assets. Everything get in real time bought in, and you can see the performance, and you can close a position at any point of time, day, night. You don't need any intermediary because you are the owner of your own asset. There is no intermediary, not us. We are just providing technology, and the results are quite good. It's, I said, 25% per week, even on a bear market, and now it's a bull market, so the results are. Yeah, actually, I'd rather have people to check by themselves because otherwise, this is a number that look like scam, and I don't want that.
No.
Nobody, trust nobody.
Yes, absolutely. Verify then trust, right? So then why don't we talk about compliance a little bit, right? And regulatory frameworks, in particular in the crypto space. Concerning projects like Dopamine, you're aiming to provide, if I understand correctly, solutions that ensure regulatory compliance. What has that been like for you, and what does that look like?
As we discussed, in the principle, the solution that we created at first was the Google of the blockchain, getting all this data and putting it. And then the banks told us, we want also to solve the compliance issue that we have, operational risk, standardization, world standardization. And we said, okay, we build that for you, we build that for them. They were so happy, and they were willing to have more customization. And we have opened up the model, the source code, and now everybody can be part of this world standard and build on it, as they can show the regulator, hey, this is a solution I'm using, that's the best on the market, you should use it too if they are not, and contribute to it, so that's how we are helping the shapers to build the compliance and regulatory framework themselves. They can see how flags are being created, they can modify the rules, they can create new rules. They have access to everybody, to everything. They can access and speak with people that are in the ecosystem. As a bank, you can speak with another bank and do suggestion. Everybody's involved because everything is open through the licensing model that we have. So it's we help you help the others. We are helpers. And yeah, we help the shapers. So if you are a Web3 entrepreneur, or if you're a Web2 entrepreneur, whatever type of entrepreneur, you want to access this infrastructure and start building on it or customize it and provide value, you should do it. Banks and exchange like this openness, and also what they like is the fact that everybody's contributing. So it's like everybody brings a brick, and that's how you build a powerhouse.
What I love about what you're saying is that now more than ever is the perfect time to begin to build, because a lot of the old issues around infrastructure, security, and generally the higher risk side of things are beginning to leave the space. And we're now looking at facing new problems that we may come across when we're building, but at least the problems that used to keep people out of the space as far as building aren't a concern anymore, because you've gone through taking the resources, the capital, the talent necessary to establish the playing field for everyone. Is this accurate?
100%. And you see, like, if I go back to the question, what were the challenges? One of them I told you, like, it was like the UI UX to get sure that we can
Yeah.
simplify. The other one was knowledge building. At first, you know, like, you're very few to know, and then you need to take people that are outside of the space and you build them. Like, you build engineer, you create a career path, you get sure like everybody understands, and you simplify as much as possible. But you build quality and scalable knowledge in a way that you have teams that are able to teach other members of the team and scale up. And now, like, all the groundwork is done. Like, security, everybody knows it's non-custodial, so everybody has access to their own fund. It's so simple, and there is no more buyer there. Like, you know, like, it's a like you ask something, like, you ask what are like the next hurdle, you know? What are the next hurdle? Right now, we came to a maturity on the market, and I'm not just speaking about us, like, in general, that now is a green field. Like, I said, like, I think, like, this is the moment where, like, the technology has came, and it's just like everything is here in order to build great value. If you have like good people that are building, it will just be like striving, you know, like, there is no more blockers. Regulation is here, compliance is here, infrastructure is here, AI is here, talent is here, so everything is ready. And you saw, like, if one of the oldest wealth manager, like BlackRock,
Yeah.
has done the move forward, yeah, you can get sure. Like, it's like when you go like to the swimming pool and you see people inside the swimming pool, and you see like old people, you see like and kids and everything, you say like, okay, it's perhaps safe, and it is.
Yeah. No, and that I think also implies there's going to be a huge injection of capital in the coming times. So, with that said, I want to talk about something you alluded to in terms of like you having access to the team and developing people was part of the process. You've created world-renowned teams, like bringing on some interesting people, like Andre Kronje, I think is his name. How do these
Yeah.
collaborators influence sort of the development and the security of dopamine? And what lessons have you learned from working with professionals like that?
So again, like, thanks God, I was lucky enough, like, to come to work with these brilliant people. Andre Cronje is known as like the DeFi guru. He built like Yearn Finance. Also, he's the inceptor of like the Phantom blockchain. He's a great guy. Yeah, he was our first dev. He was our first developers, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, when we were starting passing like the blockchain. And also, like, Pascal Paillet is a very known cryptographer. Like, he created the homomorphic encryption, which is called Paillet encryption, if you look on Wikipedia. Or Gennaro Goldfeder, Louis Goubin, like Gennaro Goldfeder, they are like the guys that created like the algorithm that I use behind Bitcoin. And yeah, I was lucky enough to have people that trusted me, like, and gave me like the necessary budget and relationship to gather these people all together and build technology which is now used like in most of the bridges. And when I say bridges, like, for people that don't know, is like how to bring asset from one blockchain to another. You know, it was like something very critical at the time, but we managed to solve that, and it was used like in so much bridges, like, where billions of assets are now transiting safely. And this technology is really cool. And the same technology now can be used for AI. So when you have an AI model, and Pascal, shout out to Pascal, is working on that, is when you work with confidential data, but you want the AI to be able to use this data, but you don't want the AI to know about this data, you can use a zero knowledge proof or homomorphic encryption. Send the data to the AI, so that I can give you the result without knowing what was the content of the data. And so that's really cool. And yeah, I love these
Yeah,
technologies.
no. One of the things that you're saying there is, and what's fascinating is, excuse me, and what's fascinating about all this is that there are technologies that are being built that by world-class people put together to create entrance and a playing field for crypto. But a lot of these technologies are also aging in reverse and where they're impacting older industries or even forward with other lateral industries that are growing side by side. And so the benefits of the work on Web3 have really extended far beyond, I think, what most people originally intended. And with that, I think you have a unique vision in the utility space. And if our conversation hasn't revealed that yet, let's highlight that a little bit. You're a big proponent of the idea that tokens aren't being used the way they, and we talked about this. They aren't being used the way they're supposed to. We talked about being on the boat. A lot of people do pump and dump and, holding and talk about the opportunity you see with real utilities and how you're unlocking that.
Yeah, so it's quite simple. Like you build a token only to be used. It's a utility token. So, if you have usage, people buy your token in order to use it. And then if they consume your token and you have a fixed supply, then the price of these tokens like kind of increase with time, That's like how it should be as a utility token. But right now, like there are still some projects that don't have like a utility. And people buy it just on hoping that the price might raise later, and that they will sell that to somebody else, And I think this is not the paradigm. That's the first paradigm that was built on the market, which is okay because people are always attracted to make more money, And it's okay because that brings awareness and so like we don't spit on the soup, But in the same time, like the truth is like if you have a real product that brings value to people, then you know that you have utility and that the token that you have built for the utility is going to appreciate with time because it provides value, intrinsic value. And this is what we have been aiming since the beginning. That's why like we did build all this functionality, always verifying that a user were actually liking it and got value out of it. And now we reached like 3.7 million users, without any marketing. It was pure organic growth. We've been lucky with that, like people like the product. And now it's the time for us like to really like open up and start evangelizing and explaining the technology and make it available to everybody. That's why like we have developer programs that are like available, and we're gonna do like a much more communication like we're doing today, like to explain to the people it's not too late. It's actually the perfect moment right now to come to realization that yeah, the technology is at your fingertip. And you have access to it, and it's very easy for you to step in and actually like build your digital wealth and much more. So that's where we are.
And look, I'm very grateful for this conversation because I feel like I've learned a lot here. As we begin to close things out, I do want to make a comment. Like, I've talked to a lot of companies across time. I want to say enough companies that were talking about the space and what they were doing in Web3 across all my interviews. And this is the first time I really talked to somebody who not only had the trust and the engagement with institutions that were looking to get into this, but who also clearly has the capacity to articulate how this is being built, why this is being built, and where it's going to go. So for me, I think this is a very consequential conversation to be having and to have recorded so that we can then distribute it afterwards across the networks to raise awareness of what time it actually is right now for people, especially for builders who want to get ahead of the curve. So with that said, looking ahead, what are your visions and aspirations for Web3intelligence.com and Dopamine? How do you plan to continue to push the boundaries and innovation in crypto, fintech industries, and what impact do you hope to achieve, like on a global scale?
First, thanks so much, like for your kind words, and thanks so much also, like for being part of our experience, like because by doing what you do, like evangelizing and bringing like all these tech entrepreneur into your show, like you're really like contributing into like the intelligence spreading, and the way you articulate, the way you phrase, the way you are helping people like me that are like a bit like have difficulty to explain. In plain words, like all this technicity, you're doing like a great job. I'm really very happy to be here and have this chance, man. And if you speak like long term, what we see is like I just want to ask you, did you saw what is the Vision Pro from Apple?
Yeah,
Did you look
of
at it?
course. Yeah.
Yeah, did you
Absolutely.
try it or like just videos
No,
or?
I have not. Although I hope one day to record a podcast with it just to see what happens. But spatial computing,
Yes.
essentially.
Yes, that's 100% what I wanted to go here. So for everybody like that are listening to us, like look at some videos of what Vision Pro is doing. It's going to get improved, but Apple has unveiled this spatial computing at large scale. And what I mean by that spatial computing, it's going to bring something else on top of it. You have AI, you have the Web3, like exchange of value, but now you have basically like the highest throughput bridge between your body and computer science. I mean, like you look at something and things happen. So basically, if you look at the Vision Pro, it's so that you can see Vision Pro, other products are going to come along. Yeah? But the spatial computing, you look at your environment and you see your family, your parents, you see like the real world. But in the same time, you can have like digital screens everywhere where you see the information that you want to see in real time. And it's really so well done that for us, we don't have any doubt that everything that we built for wealth management for our users right now is going to power this type of helm. And instead of having like the traders using the Reuters and the Bloomberg screen, you know, like the usual six big screens, square, take a lot of space, paint to clean and everything, you just have like this Vision Pro and you are managing all your digital assets. And if your kids is crossing the living room, you're still able to see it. And that's mean like this is really like the freedom of being 100% efficient with what you do in terms of business and wealth management, but at the same time, sharing these moments with your loved one, you know. And we already started migrating the Dopamine app into Vision Pro, and man, it's here. So that's where we are at.
This has been an absolutely incredible conversation, Kareem. I want to roll out the red carpet for you and allow you to tell people who are listening right now, like, where do you want them to connect with you? Or do you have any preferred channels? What's the call to action?
Call to action. If they want to connect, like we have our Twitter at Dopamine App, the website dopamineapp.com for the app. You can download it on Android and iOS right now on your phone. And inside, you also have our contact. We have also a Telegram channel where we are 24/7 if people need some help or some advice. Yeah, I will say that what is it. And if you see value in what we do, you can buy this token on different exchanges like Gate, Bitgate, and MEXC. And you can use this token not just to speculate, guys, but to really like use it inside the app. And if you make value out of it, and if the tool that we have built for you and simplified give you value, like, and you want to share that with us, that means the world for us.
Incredible. Thank you so much for stopping by and really sharing with us what the future holds.
Thank you so much, Philip. Like, it's my pleasure. Like, I'm very humbled to be here and to have the chance to share that with your listener and your community. And yeah, it's a real pleasure.